Our last case this morning is 2019-418, Litchfield Township Board of Trustees versus Forever Blueberry Barn, LLC. For the appellant, Mr. Harris.
Good morning. Madam Chief Justice, Honorable Justices of the Ohio Supreme Court, I am Tom Harris, and along with my colleague, Brian Richter, as Assistant County Prosecutors of Medina County, Ohio, and counsel for the Board of Trustees of Litchfield Township in Medina County. On behalf of the Board of Trustees and ourselves, we thank you for this opportunity to be heard on this matter of public and great general interest.
Let me ask you about that. I'm over here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why is this case of public or great general interest? Isn't it just about the weighing of the evidence?
No.
Is there any legal issue involved here? Is this just
Yes, there is, Your Honor. There's no standard that has been set up by any other court case regarding the statute 519.21, which says that in order for a building to be exempt from zoning regulation, that the primary use of that building must be the venting and selling of wine. There's been no hearing on what constitutes primary use.
Wasn't a hearing held, and didn't the court below find that the primary use was venting of wine of the building? I mean, is that a factual determination?
It's a factual determination in that, but here's the problem with what happened at the lower court. The lower court misapplied. The only case that deals specifically with this exemption in 519.21A is the case of Terry v. Sperry. However, Terry v. Sperry is not similar to this case in that the use of the building was not at issue in that case. I think they stipulated that the use of the building was for the venting and selling of wine. The only thing that Terry v. Sperry addressed was the use of the land. The exemption in 519.21A has two elements to it. First of all, how is the land used? And in that case, the standard is any. And to answer your question, the court below conflated that standard for the land use, conflated it to the standard for the second test, the primary use of the building. In essence, the way it treated this was that any sale, any production of wine, instead of it being the primary.
That's not what the court said, though. The court didn't make that rule. The court didn't say any sale of wine. It looked at the building and it said what it thought the primary use was. But you disagree with that, right? I mean, that's kind of where we are.
I do disagree with that, Your Honor. And the reason I disagree with that is because you have to look at the totality of this case. The totality of this case was that, first of all, the appellee built a building, which he called a barn, on residential property. And from the very first day that the building had been completed, they began to rent it out strictly for weddings and for other social gatherings. There was no agricultural activity in this barn.
Counsel, we're back to the factual issues. Yeah. I think I'm having the same trouble that Justice DeWine is having, that these do seem to be factual questions. Why is that relevant to what the court ultimately held?
The court ultimately held that first of all, when the appellee petitioned the court to lift the restraining order, and the specific restraining order was to be precluded from holding weddings in this building, and within 2 months after the injunction was issued, the appellee came back to court and petitioned the court to lift the injunction, claiming that it was now a winery. This was 2 months. And the court first found, the magistrate first found that, well, yeah, you are doing things to be a winery, but you need a sale in order for you to be a winery. Well, a sale, one sale, and in that instance, they went out, and the appellee went out, he produced the wine, and then he sold six bottles to his cousin. The principal sold six bottles to his cousin. He came back into court and said, I've had a sale. I've had one sale. And with that...
Okay, but again, something could fit into the exception even without any sales, right? I mean, you could be setting up something that's clearly a winery. You could be zoned accordingly. You haven't opened for business yet. So, I mean, the sale's not really the issue. I mean, what is the legal proposition that you want us to adopt in this case?
The legal proposition is we want a definition of the term primary use, which is consistent with the law. The test should not be any. And in this instance, the way the facts showed itself was there was one sale. That was any sale.
Counsel, the court went through an analysis, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You just disagree with the analysis results, but and the analysis incorporating the word primary.
Okay.
So this is very fact specific to Blueberry Farms or Forever Blueberry, right?
Oh, it's not necessarily fact specific just to this case, because if you use this case as precedent, then any like I said, any person who wanted to...
Did the court say that? Any sale will do.
No, but the way it applied the facts, the way the analysis, I do have issue with the analysis of the
right, but it's not saying blanket that we're going to adopt the standard that is in place for land use and substitute that and apply that to building use. It did an analysis.
But in fact, that's exactly what it did do. It did apply the any standard to the use. It did not. For instance, the big problem is that without foundation, without any evidence to support it, the court made an analysis that the holding of weddings is a selling activity, and that's what it based its. That's what it based its decision on. It's been up to the Court of Appeals twice. First time it went up to the Court of Appeals, that's exactly what the Court of Appeals said. You have not done an analysis. You have not determined what constitutes the term primary use. And instead of taking more evidence, it simply changed its judgment entry by simply saying, well, we find that the selling activity, that weddings are a selling activity. Well, in this case, that's their only selling activity. They haven't shown any evidence of anything else. They didn't set
but,
up the...
But they, you don't argue with the fact that they're selling their wine to the people who rent their property. That's their showroom, that's their delivery.
Well, yeah, certainly, but is that the primary use? There's a test there. Yeah, they sold some wine. Merriam-Webster defines the term primary as being something important, most important, or most valuable. Okay, if we use the objective test, most valuable, what's more valuable? The holding of the weddings at $3,500 per event, or the sale of how much wine can you sell at a wedding at $10 a bottle? The only evidence was that they sold six bottles at $10 a bottle.
Okay, but you keep saying that, but there was other evidence, right? There was evidence there was wine being stored in the building. There was evidence an open house was planned to sell the remaining bottles. There was evidence that his plan was to sell wine by hosting receptions and gatherings in the barn. There were 108 wine bottles had been labeled. It had produced 160 gallons. It had produced 15 gallons in 2018. Venting storage, there was testimony that venting storage and sales would occur. There was venting equipment located within the barn. So you can't just say that the only evidence here was the six bottles of wine, right?
Well, there's two parts to the primary test. It has to be the venting and selling of wine. And yes, there was some venting, but there was no evidence. There was no evidence of any selling. When the building was inspected, there was wine made, but they used approximately 4% of the floor space, and the rest of the floor space was set up just as it had always been set up for weddings. There was no shelving for displaying bottles. There was no coolers for white wine. There was no sales.
Well, you would do that if you're going to sell to the public, but obviously their consumers were people that were coming in and renting their building and presumably drinking their wine during the festivities.
That's true, Your Honor. But
so it doesn't say you've got to market it to Giant Eagle, right?
No, it does. It doesn't say that you have to market it to Giant Eagle or that you have to open up your own store. But the second part of that definition in Merriam-Webster, what is the most valuable? Is it most valuable to have the wedding? What is the purpose of the building? Is it to, or what is the purpose that you're creating the wine? Is it to sell the wine, or is it so that you could have weddings? Well, the weddings were going for $3,500 a night. How much wine would you have to sell at a wedding to even come close to that $3,500 a night? It just simply doesn't. We do have an argument of the manifest weight of the evidence simply did not justify this decision, and that was recognized by the dissent in the Court of Appeals, that instead of having weddings to sell wine, they're making wine in order to have weddings, and that's the problem. The primary use of the building is not the venting and selling of wine. It remains the weddings as it had always had been. And this attempt by the appellee to kind of retrofit itself in order to be able to have the weddings, that's what this is supposed to guard against. You know, like Justice DeWine said, they're planning on doing that, but the evidence didn't show that. It was just all empty rhetoric. What the evidence showed, was that 96% of the building was still set up for weddings, and then there was some feeble attempt to create some wine. But there wasn't enough equipment in there. There was very little equipment, but there wasn't enough equipment to produce any kind of significant volume of wine, and that wasn't going to be their business. Their business was going to be continued to be weddings, because in one night, without doing anything else other than renting the building, they can make $3,500. They would have to sell. They would have, at $10 a bottle, they would have to sell 350 bottles of wine to that wedding in order to make that $3,500. And it isn't clear from, they never displayed, other than some few statements in testimony, it was never clear what their plan was. Were they going to sell some bottles, or did somebody have to buy the 350 bottles to make up that $3,500? But if they're only selling a few bottles or what normally would be sold, that doesn't amount to $3,500. And so which is the most important? Which is the primary use? If another court looks at this case and says, well, it really isn't any standard. It isn't really a primary use standard. because selling a few bottles of wine and allowing a $3,500 wedding to occur, what is most important? What is the most valuable? The most valuable and the most important is the wedding.
Okay, Council, say they didn't do any weddings and they're in the startup business of minting wine. They've got, what, 50 vines and they're going to have 25 more coming in and you know, they've got the equipment, the fermenters, presses, all that stuff. Would you have a problem?
Well, I would think they would have to show that they intend to sell. Remember, there's a two-pronged test in the use of the building. They would have to show not only that they're producing wine, but that they intend to sell that wine. And the way you tell it with concrete, like I said, was there any store set up? Was there even any wine tasting? They said they were going to do wine tasting, but there was nothing set up to do that. And here's an interesting...
Council, you know you've used all your time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Larrabee.
Good morning. Chief Justice O'Connor, Justices, may it please the Court. I represent the appellee Forever Blueberry Barn. And we're asking this Court to affirm the Ninth District Court of Appeals, which upheld the trial court in finding that a Blueberry Barn satisfied the viticulture exception of 519.21a, that it conducts viticulture on its property, and that the barn is primarily used for vinting and selling wine. This case involves extraordinary, unique questions of fact, facts that were established more than 3.5 years ago at several hearings. When the injunction was in place, and that's important to remember, we respectfully argue that this court should follow a few well-established judicial principles here. Number one, that the appellate courts must give deference to the trial court in its fact-finding. They are the ones to weigh the testimony. They are the ones to observe the witnesses and their demeanors and weigh the witness credibility. Number two, as this court held in Terry versus Sperry, zoning resolutions are to be strictly construed. They are exceptions to common law. They take away rights of the real property owner. And this court stated in Terry versus Sperry, the scope of a zoning restriction cannot be extended to limits not clearly prescribed by the General Assembly. And number three, that zoning exemptions would be liberally construed. That is, the intent of the General Assembly is determined through the language of the statute, and when the language is plain and unambiguous, that the courts must rely upon that language. There's been a lot of discussion about the definition of primary use, and Litchfield Township argues that primary use should include several factors that the court needs to weigh. Our argument is that the plain meaning of primary use should be applied, which, as my colleague indicated, it's for the most part mainly. It does not mean exclusively. It does not mean a specific percentage of space or time or revenue. And to bring the issue of factors to light, the section 519.21c, a part of the same statute, deals with the farm market exception. And in that part of the statute, the General Assembly indicated that there had to be 50% of the gross income has to come from the produce that's raised on that property or other properties owned by the farm market operator. Something else to consider is that the General Assembly did have an opportunity to amend this portion of the statute in 2016, I believe after the hearings were held in our case. They added an agritourism provision to the statute, and they left the viticulture provision as it dealt with primary use exactly the same. They didn't change it, kept it, and in fact they actually added that portion into the agritourism provisions.
So, Council, we're not to look at, if we're supposed to give deference to the fact finder, the trial court, we're not to look at the fact that the building is rented out for $3,500 and you know, what the income that building produces as for the rental as opposed to the sale of wine?
That is a misstatement of the evidence, I believe, respectfully, that my colleague has made. The testimony to the trial court was that there were prior rentals. Then the injunction went into place. At that point in time, my client could not conduct receptions anymore. It's important to know that at that first hearing, there's evidence provided by my client that they had applied for their wine permit and it was in process. They hadn't gotten all of their equipment together, but they were going to be coming back to the court at some later date. And in that first judgment entry, the trial court indicated that they specifically reserved jurisdiction so that in the event that my client became a winery, they could address that issue. So at the time, my client could not engage in any of its receptions to sell its wine. And to your point, Chief Justice, they were not renting the barn. The evidence before the trial court was that there would be a minimum purchase of wine to have exclusive use of the barn. Otherwise, the barn would be open to the public and for wine tastings and sales and so forth. But to have exclusive use of the barn, then there would be a minimum wine purchase. There's been a lot of discussion about whether my client had a business plan in place. The fact was that he had not had an opportunity to work through his business model. He did not have the evidence to present to the court how these receptions would be done. He did have some ideas as to the minimum amount of wine that had to be sold. But to the fact that perhaps he would not be able to realize $3,500 for a reception under this wine exception, that's something that he'll have to live with. But part of the primary use doesn't mean that there has to be a certain amount of financial use. Or primary use doesn't necessarily mean the most beneficial financial use of the property. If he's restricted to the viticulture exception and selling and venting wine and using the barn for that purpose and marketing that, then the revenue will be what the revenue is. And the trial court found that he did meet those exceptions. With regard to the fact that the selling activity is not the use of the barn for receptions is not a selling activity. The appellants argue that all revenue comes from the sale of the barn itself, and it's clear that revenue does not come from the sale of the barn, but comes from wine. And as one of the justices indicated that the barn was used for marketing, it was used for selling and venting, it was storing its wine in the barn part that was set up for a bond use for the liquor department. It's also important to note that in the appellant's memorandum of support of jurisdiction that it argues that barns and receptions in the farm area, if you will, has become very popular. And I don't believe it's disingenuous for them to also argue that the barn cannot be used for marketing because the demand is there.
Okay. People pay to use the barn.
People pay to buy the wine.
Wait a minute. People go in there, and how much do they pay to have a function at the barn?
The evidence that was presented to the trial court was they hadn't decided the exact amount. They would have to sit down with the people that wanted to have it.
Has this been in operation since that, when the injunction was lifted?
Since the injunction they have been in operation. I don't have the facts before you. It was not presented to the trial court. Obviously, this is 3.5 years ago, but they continue to operate at this point in time.
Okay. And you're telling me that the people that go in there are doing that for the purposes of buying wine?
The barn is marketed for the people to use the facility and enjoy the wine. It's a marketing tool. They're not directly...
So everybody in there, if is this the exclusive alcohol or wine that's being sold at these receptions?
Correct.
There's no other wine from any other producer?
No other wine.
Alcohol from any other source?
The evidence to the trial court was they blended three types of table wines, and they got the certificates and the registrations for those three specific types of wines. Litchfield also argues that the prior rentals of the barn proves that it is actually a rental facility. I asked the court to look to the case of Schabel versus Troyen, a 2011 case, the 11th District. In that case, there is a pavilion that was used previously for charitable use and for family gatherings. The owner of the facility then started to use the pavilion for wine tasting, wine sales, and storing of grapes, and occasionally family gatherings. And that court found that the exemption was met, even though that they had previously used it for non-agricultural purposes. And even though they were hiring entertainers to perform and provide music and so forth for the customers that were purchasing the wine. If there's no further questions for me, I would like to conclude by saying that this court should follow the holdings in Terry versus Sperry, construe the Litchfield zoning restriction strictly, construe the viticulture exemption liberally, and give plain meaning to the statutory language that's in that statute, and give deference to the trier of fact.
So, counsel, following up, your clients would not have a function there if the attendees did not buy wine.
Precisely. That it was specific testimony to the trial court that there would not be a reception where wine wasn't purchased, because that's the only way that they would be able to have exclusive use of the barn.
Okay. So there's no testimony as to how much wine?
The issue that the appellants raise is that he didn't have a fully developed business plan. He testified at court that he would sit down with people who wanted to have a reception. They would discuss the number of people that would be there and the amount of wine that would have to be purchased. It would be on a case-by-case basis.
But his production was known.
His production had just started, correct.
Okay, and what was it, 144 bottles?
He at that point in, I think it was August of 2016 when we had that last hearing, that's what he had produced to date. But again, the injunction was in place, so he was not able to have receptions and have larger groups come in. So the production perhaps wasn't ramped up to what it could have been. He needed to get relief from the trial court first before he proceeded. We ask that this court respectfully affirm the Ninth District Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you, Chief Justice. I think what is important to understand here is that the restraining order, the injunction that was placed on the use of the building, was strictly for the holding of weddings and the rental of weddings. The appellee was not precluded from operating a winery that is in conformance with 519.21A, but it sits here and it asks that the restriction on weddings be lifted, because that is the only way that it can do business. We'd ask this honorable court to reverse the findings of the trial court and the court of appeals and find that appellee continue to be precluded from using the subject building to be let for weddings and other social gatherings. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.